All of the podcasts here at the Sideshow Network are now with a touch of a button on your iPhone and iPad. With the new Sideshow Network app, tune into all your favorite podcasts here at the Sideshow Network. Go to iTunes App Store, search for Sideshow Network, and download our free app to stream all of your favorite Sideshow Network podcasts at any time you want. The top comedians in the world are at your fingertips with the Sideshow Network app for iPhone and iPad.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Puck Off. I'm Joe Bartnick. Once again, Frazier Smith, our co-captain, he's the captain. He wears the C, one of the original six. He is actually on his way to Vegas, but he's going to call in because he's such a gamer. But we have as our first returning guest, the very best, the very funny, Ian Bagg in the house.
Yeah, returning guest.
Yeah, I mean, we had to bring you back. You're so knowledgeable.
I didn't make it in, though. The first time I had to call via phone, so this is awesome.
First live appearance.
I'm in the rink.
And a perfect time to come because of, I don't want to dwell on this all show, but you're kind of familiar with the violence of the Boston Bruins, as well as the vengeance, the Todd Bertuzzi case comes to mind.
Well.
Not to start the bad, but literally the whole, defenseless guy.
Yeah,
punch.
But I think there's a difference between the defenseless guy. The guy Bertuzzi was trying to get the guy to fight him and smacked him with his stick, not trying to smack him as hard as he did, but sometimes you just crank a guy by mistake.
Bertuzzi.
I'm talking Bertuzzi still. I'm talking because I'm going to go back to McSorley because McSorley was he not playing for the Bruins when he did that?
Right.
So we're going defenseless guy.
Okay. No.
So when McSorley did it, that guy should have fought him, right? There's no way that guy was a fighter.
But I thought at the time, I thought he was a Canuck.
He was a Canuck, but what McSorley was a Bruin, wasn't he? Was it?
Now I'm confused.
But it involves Canucks and Bruins and Bruins, right? And Canucks and Pittsburgh Penguins and all this. But let's get to it. There's a point where you're trying to fight somebody and they're not fighting you back, even though they're supposed to fight you back. Because the guy that was playing for the Canucks, and I'm blanking on his name, that with McSorley was
Steve Moore.
No,
he was a big black guy.
Yeah.
Jesus, we're all.
Yeah, and he was fighting guys in his gym.
Right,
because he was going downstairs. He actually had some times where he got arrested.
It was Donald Brashear.
Donald Brashear, that's right. And he got arrested for fighting a guy in his gym. He beat up a guy that wouldn't give up something in the gym of his apartment building. So he's a fighter, right? He's a fighter.
Brashear was a classified goon.
So McSorley should have fought McSorley. And the fact that he wasn't going to fight McSorley, that's the code. That's why you're in the NHL. You're there to fight somebody. You're not there to bounce one off your chest or off your stick because you're so fantastic. You're there to make sure that their guy is calmed down. So that I'm fine with. That just happened to get out of control because he just hit him a little too hard.
Right.
Where he shouldn't have. Okay, passed out. Then there's Bertuzzi, who... He's a big guy, but he's not really known for fighting.
No, and it really ruined Bertuzzi's career.
It ruined Bertuzzi's career.
Because he was a good player. He was on the verge of becoming a borderline Hall of Famer. He was becoming a borderline Hall of Fame player. He was a 50-goal scorer back in the day.
He would have retired a Canuck as well.
Back in the day when you could – with guys like Stevens and – guys like Stevens and Tocchet – like Bill Guerin, when big guys could get 50 goals, 200 penalty minutes, when they were the class A's of the NHL. Those were the best guys you could have on your team.
He was a guy, he could fight, but he wasn't a fighter.
Right.
He could hit, but he wasn't a grinder.
Yeah.
And he could score. He was the best you could be
in the NHL.
Okay, so now the Steve Moore kid is just coming up into the league. He's got to prove himself.
Right.
He's got to prove himself. He needs Naslund, who is nothing but finesse. That's how this all starts.
Right.
So if you need somebody that is somebody's star player, you're going to have to put up for it. You're going to have to stand up for yourself, and you're probably going to take some to the face. You're going to take five to the eye. You're going to be swollen up. As probably as bad as, remember on 24/7 on HBO when Pittsburgh, what was it, Pittsburgh and and the Rangers played, or no, Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. And the kid got beaten up, and he had that swelling on his face, and it looked like...
Yes.
Yeah. So you're going to probably get that happen to you. And he didn't accept his punishment. That's what happened there. And it wasn't that Bertuzzi was trying to do that. We've all played sports. We all know what it's like to see white. Things happen. I don't care if you're a professional or you're not a professional. You go too far sometimes. You're not really trying to go too far.
No.
But then there's a difference when you're holding a guy down by his face and punching him on the ice.
And when you pull him down from the back.
Well, it's slew-footed him.
Right.
Yeah,
which is already a major, which is already like you're going to get suspended anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
So McSorley, Bertuzzi, and then that Thornton was a completely different.
No, that's what I said. Thornton is off the reservation. I mean, there's cheap shots.
I've been on a reservation before, and it's rough.
There's sucker punches. I've done gigs of no booze reservations. You're talking about hell.
Boring.
There's cheap shots. There's sucker punches, and then there's what Thornton did, which is just beyond the call of anything. But if anybody doesn't know what we're talking about, basically the Penguins-Bruins game, Brooks Orpik hit Erickson, who keeps his head down, much like Eric Lindros, and ends up all the time getting concussed because he's looking at the puck.
Right.
And Orpik's a big guy, likes to hit, doesn't like to fight, which is a little bit of a problem. Anyway, hit him clean. Thornton comes out, he wants to dance. Brooks doesn't dance. And then so Thornton takes it upon himself to when no one's paying attention,
right?
Slew foot him and then punch him three times in the head when he's on the ground.
Right. Which means your head's bouncing off the ice. So you're taking actually six punches to the head.
Which means you have to get carried off on a stretcher, which means when my daughter's watching the game, I have to say, go in your room because I don't want her to see people being carried off on a stretcher in a hockey game.
Well, it's...
You know, and as much as I, you know, that's what's bad for the league.
It's,
you know,
it's bad for the league because you see a guy that's out of control.
Right.
You see a guy that's out of control and you see the team not be able to control him. You see.
Or want to control him.
But you also see the referees can't control him.
You know, that's a whole other subject. I mean, Julian, the referee should just told Julian, you know what? The guy doesn't want to fight. Next time you send him out, he does it, he's done for the day.
Well, he should have said, if Thornton gets on the ice, you're both gone.
Yeah.
You and Thornton are gone for the night because you are sending him out there to take care of him.
Right.
And that's, you know what you're doing.
But that's the old hockey mentality. The other thing that happened was that now the apologist for Boston, saying, well, look what happened to Marchand, because Marchand... And right, the scrum that let happen right before the scrum that all this happened with Orpik was
correct.
that's our captain buzzing in. We will get to him soon. What precipitated that was that Crosby tripped Marchand, who is a legitimate rat. I mean, he literally high sticked Kunitz in the face on purpose. I don't care what anyone says. Bag, you've played hockey at a high level. You control your stick. You know where your stick's going.
You know where your stick's going. You know, for the most part, every so often goes stray. But Marchand, it's all the time. It's continuous.
So, you know, of course.
So when something happens to him, you can't, because you live by the sword, you die by the sword.
And he's one of the guys, like, I until that incident, you know, Thornton was always a guy that I respect as an honest hockey player. Marchand is one of the guys, just like Matt Cook, who I don't think belong in, like half the Flyers, I don't believe belong in the league. That are just rats, just looking to hurt people, and that's what we don't need.
Here's what, Philadelphia is still trying to live in 1974.
Yeah.
And it's just not there. And when you, that goes back to that, those two goalies fighting, and I felt horrible. That was as bad, if not worse, when you're watching what's his face, who loves to fight, punching the Capitals goaltender, and it's just bad looking. But then I take it back to Pittsburgh when they played the Islanders, and Brent Johnson skated down the ice and ended a guy's career.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, there's no, I mean, and a lot of people argue Bill Burr, he'll be in to defend himself at some point coming up.
As he should be.
You know, they go, Pittsburgh, like, I'm not absolving anybody of anything. The Penguins did, and that's why I'm not cracking too hard on the Bruins, because you know Thornton went off the reservation, but Marchand, I think Marchand was laying there, and you know, need him in the face. I mean, the funny thing is that he went by the code, never hit a man when he's not kick him. It's kick easier. Him. That's kick what Thornton. Him. That's what Thornton didn't do. He should have just kicked Orpik a couple times, and he probably would have got less of a suspension.
He could have made it. He could have totally made it look like he was just skating by and happened to kick him in the head.
Yeah.
That's all he could have told. And trust me, I know from both sides of that, you can do that.
Well, the funny thing about the Neil hit on, and you know, he hit Marchand's face, and it's impossible to miss Brad Marchand's nose.
You know, it's weird.
But the same exact hit, I'm sorry, same exact hit, though, that's what concussed Crosby, right?
Right.
It was like, well, you know, he was just skating by.
Right.
And boom, he happened to hit him.
Right.
The same exact thing. And,
right.
But they didn't take the excuse from Neil.
No.
Because Neil's actually a third-time offender.
He's a bad, bad man, but actually got some respect from me. For that, I'm like, I could watch Neil play after he took out Marchand. Marchand's got that huge nose, but he's got that tiny head with those big shoulders. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't look like he looks like Esa Tiikkanen now.
Well,
and plays like him.
Here's a funny point for not even a funny one. It's like we were talking like you know, like there's guys that you hate when you play against them. Like I like Lucic. I hate playing against them, but I love just watching their games. I love Lucic. Here's a legitimate
just a sharp
flyer I hate him. Scott Hartnell. Despise him. I would love him. I'd carry him to Pittsburgh.
You would,
he played for the Penguins.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's one of those guys.
Okay, because he's a straight up guy. He'll fight you. He'll cheap shot you, but he'll fight you, and he plays tough. Guys like Marchand, to me, like Cook. They're rats.
Right.
They're babies.
Right.
Get them out of the league.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Marchand is not one of those guys that I would ever want on my team, because like, really what comes around goes around.
Yeah, it's going to end up on it's going to end up on you at some point. My thing about Hartnell is he kind of reminds me a little bit of Messier. And from what my friends told me, Messier was the worst guy to play against because he was the dirtiest man alive.
Oh, even as an old just, like when he was a Ranger, when he was collecting, you know, trophies for being a good Samaritan,
right, for helping the homeless and killing him.
Yeah, he's still sticking people in the eyes.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, he was the king.
Yeah, he's the king of spearing.
Oh, the king of spearing. He sharpened his blade, not you know, just to spear people.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, Messi, I mean, that's why he was the ultimate warrior. And that's back in those days, though, too. He would put him up, though. That's the difference, too.
Well, I think Hartnell's a little bit like that.
Yes.
But if you go take it back, the guy that ended Lindros' career that played for New Jersey, why am I blanking on his name? The defenseman.
Oh, Scott Stevens. Yes, Scott Stevens was awesome.
He was awesome, but his career ended because of how he hits.
Well, you know, well, here's the whole thing: was Lindros's career was ended just the way Erickson's made because he skated with
down.
His head down.
Head down.
Yes, I mean that's.
Also wasn't really a fighter either. Lindros wasn't. He was so. There's a lot of comparisons right there.
Lindros.
Yeah. Lindros wasn't really a fighter.
Well, you know, he wasn't a good fighter, but he dropped his gloves a lot. No, but he did.
There's
fight
a punching
lot.
Bag, and then there's a fighter.
Right, but he fought though.
Not enough to say he was a good. I don't think. I never thought of him as a tough guy. I thought of him as a big guy, like Primo. He played with Primo. Remember in Philadelphia, Primo would fight every so often, but I never thought of Primo as a fighter.
Yeah. Well, Primo was forced to fight as a Red Wing because they didn't have anybody. You know.
Well, they did, but they didn't. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, and that's what you know. That's what changed everything around was when they got a disciplined master, Brendan Shanahan.
Right.
It was all of a sudden they had a guy that could protect and skate with all the stars. It was like when Moses Malone went to the Sixers, not to talk basketball. It's like you knew it was over then.
Right.
When Shanahan went to Detroit from Hartford, it was like you knew it was over then. Well, all of a sudden they got someone that can protect Yzerman's back and can score.
It's interesting that they've picked him to be the disciplinarian.
I was actually at his Hall of Fame induction, and I love Shanahan. I love the way he plays.
There's nothing you can not love about Shanahan.
I cannot love the way he's doing his job.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's nothing as a hockey player you can't. There's nothing you can. But it's also like when Gretzky became the coach of the Phoenix Coyotes. It's like, can you not be that coach? Because you don't remind me anything of the player. It was almost embarrassing watching him coach.
It was embarrassing watching him. But didn't you think that he would do a better job, Shanahan?
No.
No, you didn't.
Because honestly, I would have taken a referee. I would for that job. I would take a referee because he's still friends with those guys. He's still friends with the guys that are coaching. There's still a little bit of influence on him.
But
on a referee, there's not going to be that influence from the players.
I don't know now because it's shown to be wrong. So I think you're right. But at the time, I wanted somebody who skated to make those judgments.
But now
that's what I'm saying.
A referee or linesman has skated with him, and he knows what people get away with, and he sees as much, and he's willing to call.
But I mean, I thought Andy Van Helleman and of other refs of his ilk were blind. it's one thing. I think officiating has got a lot better in the last 20 years.
Do you think that's because of the addition of the second referee, though?
I think that, and the fact it's become, I wouldn't say a more mainstream sport, but I think it's been more held accountable to where the Canadians and whoever aren't just going to get all the calls. And it's not one guy. It's not like it used to have almost a professional wrestling aspect of like, well, one team's up by two goals, we're just going to call 15 hooks against the other team until it gets close.
Right, right.
Or, oh, well, that's, Guy Lafleur and no one's allowed to touch him. Or
Wayne Gretzky. How about when Wayne Gretzky slashed what's-his-face across the face and should have been kicked out during, I can't remember, but during the playoffs, I don't know why I go into you. I don't even know if you're a hockey fan. But he
our esteemed producer, Anthony.
Yeah. Hockey fan extraordinaire.
Yes.
Do you remember what I'm talking about? I think it was when he was with the Kings, and I can't remember who they were playing.
It was Toronto.
It was Gilmore.
Yeah.
And he cut him. He should have been kicked out of the game, but they didn't kick him out because it was Gretzky.
Right.
So I think, but I also think that refereeing over the years is almost like goaltending. Goaltending was the guy that couldn't skate.
Right.
And also refereeing was the guy that couldn't really play hockey. I think a lot of those guys, if you look at those linesmen, they're big enough boys that they could play hockey.
I've always had respect for the linesmen. Like Mike Civic and all those guys. I remember it used to be the same five guys, the same two guys. Kerry Collins.
Right, Kerry
was
Collins,
the linesman. He did every big game for 30 years.
Yeah.
He was on TV more than J.R. Ewing.
Yeah.
He had more primetime.
And was a bigger dick.
Yeah. then he made a bad call and won Olympics and like he had to retire. Yeah,
well, that's what happens. That's what happens with the referee. You screw up once, you're gone.
I mean, I just screw up. I mean, I just remember there's a big sign in Pittsburgh, the one playoff series when it said top 10 reasons why Penguins lost Game 5, and they were all remember the guy with the hit? Kerry Fraser was one Frazier. Through nine, one through 10. I mean, he would just
everybody hated him.
But you knew in the first 3 minutes of a game how the game was, who was going to win because of who was calling the game. That's what I meant. There was such a professional wrestling ass. You don't really feel that anymore because it used to be you knew the 10 officials.
Right.
You knew the way they called the game.
I was going to say that you don't really know the referees by name anymore.
No, even like Gregson's gone, and some of the other guys are just gone. You know the old guys that used to run them all. They're not there anymore.
I also think the addition of the second referee helped out a lot because if just the game is so fast and you're concentrating on the puck and stuff going on behind, you just don't notice.
Yeah. Speaking of the second referee, what do you think of the no-touch icing now? What do you think of that?
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah.
You think it's fantastic?
Anything to get guys not destroyed during an icing.
I agree with that. I'm not going to debate that. But what I do not like is they changed it where the last few years, and I know it affects the Penguins because they do more stretch passing than anybody, but it also affects my viewing pleasure, is if it's a pass that doesn't connect, wave it off. And they did it for a few years, and then I guess the word came down for Bettman or whatever not to do that. And now
I don't know if any word could come from Bettman. I'm pretty sure he still thinks the game's played on wood. He's such a tool shed.
But you know what I mean, though? You know what I mean? There's icings, and then there's, hey, the pass wasn't completed.
But even as a guy that play, like a lot of hockey without, because, the touch icing was dropped out of, NHL was the only place that had it.
Right.
That happens. Missing the pass, that just happens. They just call that. They just, that's just part of life.
It makes you
work to get that puck.
Okay,
that's what it's for. That's why they call that.
No, I understand it would make people try to make the passes more accurate.
No, it's to make that player that's to get to. you have to work harder.
Okay.
That's what it is, because he can slough off and let that, and it's still, and then you don't call the icing off. Now he's still got a chance to get it. So
it's taking the point one step further.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I still think, you know, just a lot of times, like, oh, they're bringing it back. And it's like, you know, just keep.
Can you guys not win every game in Pittsburgh? It's just that there's just no point.
It's just a regular season game.
Whatever.
It's just a regular season game.
Don't care. What do you think?
Like, go ahead.
Seriously, what do you think? There's something missing in that dressing room.
I think it's a guy like Bill Guerin. I think, or Gary Roberts. I think a guy that has Crosby and Malkin's ear, Gonchar. A guy that those two guys look up
somebody,
to.
Somebody that they respect.
Yeah, because when the Penguins won in the playoffs, they had Gonchar and they had Guerin.
So what you're saying is that Malkin and Crosby still are not mature enough to have that role.
I think that they need other people. I think it's very hard to. I think Iginla.
Do you think that's why Iginla was brought in? Because they kind
Think Iginla let them. Iginla wasn't even offered a contract. Now they wasted a ton of draft picks and prizes to get him, and he wasn't even offered back because I think the front office expected more out of Iginla than that. I think Iginla came in. I think it's very hard to break the wall of about the. You have Malkin, who's kind of his own guy anyway, but then you got Russian. Sid, and then you have. Orpik, and Orpik's been there. He was there before the lottery,
right?
So, but you got Sid, Kunitz, Duper, Adams. Those are like Sid's lieutenants. They've been there through all the winning,
right?
And then it's like it's hard to break through that, you know. Whereas Guerin came in, he's just like, "Who are you, you little punk?"
Right?
And just and Malkin always had Gonchar. Here's the thing with the Penguins. There's many things about the Penguins. I mean, we'll debate. But the Penguins didn't do what the Blackhawks did super well, is the Blackhawks said, here's our five guys. The rest of you can all go to hell.
Right.
The Penguins and the Bruins and the Kings, oh, we're one big happy family. Let's all come back and do this again. No. Last week we just had John Hockin here, a big Blackhawks fan.
Right.
And I just praised the Blackhawks for doing that.
Right.
You know, I mean,
and how did he deal with that? He was confused. He confused? Because I'm sure people don't say good things about the Blackhawks.
No, he took it in stride.
The fact that you said good things about the Blackhawks probably confused him, because he was probably coming in here expecting to have to fight the whole time.
Well, he was even. You know, I'll get to this. I have another point on this, which we'll get to down a little bit later. But he was shocked. I said,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
This is on our pre-show. Here's the biggest problem with the Penguins right now is they gave Chris Letang $7 million. And I told my wife, it won't be my cholesterol that kills me. It'll be Chris Letang. Most exciting defenseman in hockey. Yeah, because he gives the puck away four times a game. I'm telling you, I can take Chris Letang at $4 million. I cannot take Chris Letang at $7 million. I can get three guys that can play defense for $7 million. Okay. All better.
Okay.
All better than Letang.
But I will say this, as a Canucks fan, I'll say why they probably signed him at $7 million goes all the way back to Boston again, is the Cam Neely factor. I think they think that if they let him go, he will come back and haunt them. Even though they know he isn't killing it in Pittsburgh. I think they know if he goes someplace else, they'll be killed.
And I'm the first person to say I would give him to you. For three guys.
How about I don't want to get rid of. I'll get rid of most of our guys.
Yeah, then. No, like just some you know, decent ham and eggers. One guy that would be definitely.
If we had some decent ham and eggers.
No, I like your third line guys over our guys. Wait, anyway, here's
our
what
third
you talking about the Penguins. The Scuderi being hurt from the beginning of the year has killed us, because Scuderi is exactly what we need on the Penguins. He's exactly what we needed last year.
Right.
A guy that can play, a defensive defenseman that can stay home and play defense.
Right.
The Penguins need another guy like him, and they need two forwards and another defensive defenseman. These young guys are playing good. Defensemen, the young guys are playing good. Dupre came up. He's playing great. And the problem is Letang is still getting 30 minutes of ice time a game.
How many years do your general manager and coach have if they don't win? Say they don't win a Stanley Cup within 2 years, which I'm pretty sure they won't.
Oh, they won't.
So how
unless they trade Letang, they will not, because with their salary cap structure, they can't bring in enough talented wingers
right
to play
right. Yeah. Goes back to you have to be able to draft. You have to. What Pittsburgh needs to do is what Detroit did, was find these players that nobody knows about in Europe and bring them in for minus contracts.
Right.
You know what I mean? And nobody's. It's weird. The last couple of years, Detroit hasn't done it as well as they did. But there was about a 10-year period where they just had enough. They would just reload. They wouldn't have to regroup. They would reload and just put another batch into the barrel and fire them out at junior.
Oh,
like,
look what they did!
Who
now.
Is that guy?
Just look at him now.
They're okay now, but they're
going to make the playoffs probably.
I wouldn't call.
They wouldn't have made him out west, but they're. I'll tell you. I'll take Kessler and
that's a lot of Kesslers you got there, fella.
I'll take Kessler, Cassian, and a draft pick.
You take Cassian?
Yeah, I'll take Cassian.
I'll give you Cassian and a draft pick. We keep Kessler.
Well, but I'm giving you Letang.
Yeah, but
I can't sell that to the press.
I'll give you one more player. We're not giving you Kessler. You got Cassian?
I'll take Booth.
You got it. Booth? Fuck yeah. Yo, so I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but
Booth, try not to say too much.
That's how I feel about Booth. Yeah, he's just sitting on a practice squad for most of the time. I think he comes up every once in a while, and he's not putting the effort into making the team. So if you guys want Booth, you guys can have a guy on your practice squad.
Well, because I'm saying, like, we can't afford. I mean, yeah, I'd rather have somebody else, but we can't afford. That's the whole point of getting rid of Letang.
Yeah,
is to pay other people.
You got it. Yeah. Let's make the call right now.
Oh, I would love to. I thought that was the biggest mistake. You know, you're talking about how many years they got. I think Blausma is not going to get fired this year because he's the Olympic coach and he's tied with Ray Shiro in the Olympics. But I think this summer he could go. I think Shiro is going to be the Penguin GM for a long time.
You think so?
Yeah, I don't think he's going anywhere.
Why do you think he's so tied in? Why do you think?
Because I think Lemieux likes him, and I think Lemieux likes the way he runs the organization. And, you know, like, Matt, they ship Matt Cook out. You know what I mean? Like,
you had to ship Matt Cook out.
I know, and I'm happy about that, though. I mean, I just think they, you know, he likes the fact that the players are treated well. Because Lemieux was in every regime and the Penguins ever had, and a lot of the players weren't treated well.
The reason you had to ship to get rid of Cook was because with him on your team, you were no longer allowed to say anything about Crosby's concussions.
Well, I still just think that, you know, when you got guys running around cheap-shotting people,
right?
Sometimes they come back and cheap-shot Malkin or Crosby.
Yeah,
it's only natural. No, the thing that I had John Huck with, we'll just get to it now, was I used to always be like, oh, Crosby or Malkin, they're the best two in the league. And then right now, Kane and Toews.
Yeah,
Kane and this is and I don't watch every Blackhawk game, but Crosby is a better scorer. He's a magnificent superstar. He's the face of the league. Everyone loves him. Everyone opposes him. But you want to win a game?
Right.
Are you in a third period? You're going in tied? I'll take Toews. Well, because I'll tell you what, Crosby is on the ice. Crosby is on the ice for more goals against. Crosby gets away with more blind passes because he plays with Kunitz and Dupuis, who get back.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I love Sid, but you know what? You know, Sid doesn't play winning hockey. He doesn't play Ronnie Francis hockey all the time.
He doesn't play Mario Lemieux hockey.
Well, no one plays Lemieux hockey.
Yeah, but if you're the next Lemieux, you got to play that style of hockey.
First of all, I think Malkin plays more like Lemieux than Sid does. But I just think that next Lemieux.
What point do you split that up?
Because I don't really think Sid has the witch gene, like the witch gene, like, you know, like the Fedorov has,
right?
That Yager has. Like, I mean, you watch Malkin take over a game and dipsy do and dance around. I mean, that's Lemieux had, like, not too many people have
right.
it. And Malkin's just bigger. I mean, when Malkin. I always say when he wants to play because he gets temperamental and not like he doesn't want to play. He just gets in his head. He gets down depressed.
Russian.
You go right ahead.
Those commies.
Every time he's the Penguins are the best team in hockey when he is the best player on the Penguins. They're never the best team in hockey when Crosby's the best team. Best player in the Penguins.
I'm going to get even deeper. I'm going to tell you this right now. I'm going to say that Malkin and what's his face on the Caps?
Ovechkin.
If they were born and raised in America, they would be crazy superstars. They would be crazy, crazy talent.
Or Canada.
Well, even in Canada, but I'm going to say North America.
Right.
With what they have, but they don't have that finishing thing that North Americans have. To win, like there's very few Russian guys that have that take it to another level and finish a game on their own. You know who had it? Maybe Larionov.
Well, I mean, Malkin won the Conn Smythe.
When I see Conn Smythe winners, I don't always see the best player on the ice.
Oh, but he was the best player for that playoffs.
I don't remember that playoffs, but I'm just like, when somebody tells me somebody won a trophy, it's the same as when I hear somebody that won
I think that's even more, as well as that he's won an MVP, a Hart. But I mean, like, I just think when you're the best player in the playoffs,
I guarantee you, if he had been born, it would be another level.
Well, this is another question on the list to talk about. Well, do you think that I'll put it flat out, me, like, I'm a child of 1980. I love 1980. That was my team. Them and the Islanders, because the Penguins, they were blue. I liked the Penguins, but it was like rooting for them was like rooting for the Washington Generals. Right. I mean, it was pointless. That's why I love Trottier so much, is that, the Stanley Cup is number one. And then the Olympics are second.
Mm-hmm.
And now Sid, he said he doesn't like to say, like, he doesn't like shit on Canada. But he's always like, gold medals even with, like, the even. But you know that Gino, the gold, I mean, he likes winning trophies. He wants to win as many Stanley Cups as possible. But right. That's not the same as winning a gold medal when you're Russian. So do you think it's just that? You know what I mean? You'll see how hard Ovechkin and Malkin play in the Olympics.
You love Trache. Mm-hmm. Put Brian Trotche's mentality into Ovechkin or Malkin. That takes it to a different level.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. But do you think that it's because Trotche lived for the cup and the other guys are like, they want the cup, but, you know.
No, I think Trotche, because when Trotche played, they didn't go to the Olympics. NHL players didn't go to the Olympics.
Right.
Still, so if he had been able to go to the Olympics, you would have seen that same intensity at the Olympics. It's a drive to win. It's just a drive to win. And I think there's a different North American with when it comes to hockey players.
I'll just take this on this level. It's like there's a card game called Euchre.
Mm-hmm.
It's played. It's again like spades and clubs, but they're played like in Pittsburgh. I mean, I've seen divorces, I've seen gunfights over this game, right? If I'm playing euchre with a bunch of guys in Marina Del Rey, that's not the same as playing euchre with my dad and my couple uncles,
right?
Maybe that's the way the Russians feel about the Stanley Cup. Like, yeah, they want to win the card game in Marina Del Rey, but it's not the same as.
But I don't think it's a Stanley Cup. I think it's hockey. I think it's a mentality in general, because if you go back to 1980s, it was, or if you say 1980s and end of the 70s, when those teams scored, no celebration with the goal. It was just robotic. It was robotic.
Right.
They were amazing. Their passes were crisp. Their things. But then they got beaten by all these college kids because the passion was different. The passion was different.
Okay.
And that
is there any tad of Canadianism in that though?
No, because I'm saying North America. Like the fact that
you are definitely not a homer for Canada. I'm just asking because, you know, like the first,
a little bit. I guess a little bit.
No, I'm just saying because you know, like the thing is, like as an American, the first thing the Canadians always want to smack, you know, like the Don Cherry, they always want to put down the Europeans or the Russians.
Right.
That's all I'm just saying. There's none of that there.
No, because I don't feel the same way against the Euros, because I love Swedish hockey players. I think they're big. I think they're strong. I think they're mean. I think they can fight. I think the Czechs can.
Yeah, I think the Czechs are some of the best hockey players.
And it's one of the things about, and I don't, I think, you know, Jager, which, you know, you loved. I don't know how you feel about him still.
That's a whole nother, it's funny, you bring up my last five podcasts and like articles about how the Flyers are stuck in the 70s, how Jager should be renowned as one of the greatest players of all time.
I think Jager's amazing. But my thing about Jager was the biggest confusion was he hated Russia. He hated the USSR. He wore that number because that was the year that they took over Czechoslovakia, right?
Right.
That's the one. The
Well, his grandfather died in
right,
the
revolution. Right, exactly. He went back and played in Russia. That blew my mind. I just like, how is he... what number does it take that you just forget that kind of stuff?
Well, he went and played for the Flyers, which is the equivalent of playing in Russia.
but that, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just like, so, but
that actually makes me feel better when he rounded out that way. Then he went to the Flyers,
right? I think there is a more of a drive for them to play hockey in and beat. Like, just to win. And I'm sure for the Czechs, it's even more in the Olympics. It's to, like, kill those Russians.
Right. Okay.
So I just something about the Russians is very robotic to me. And I'm not taking anything against their game because their game's amazing.
You know, what's funny is because I actually think that Ovechkin, definitely Ovechkin, and definitely Malkin, they're probably the two most people that get thrown off their game emotionally, though. They get too emotional. You ever see Ovechkin? It's like you want him to have 10 checks a game,
right?
Because that means he doesn't have the puck,
right?
And Malkin is the first. I mean, literally, I was thinking this about the Boston game. Like, they're lucky that Malkin didn't play that game because Malkin does not f around,
right?
You ever see him?
Yeah.
I mean, he's a stick swinging. He's he'll be the first guy to sucker punch someone, and you know he's done many.
But it's more Russian. It's more Russian mafia than. It's got that feel to it.
Oh,
my biggest thing about why I started liking Ovechkin is because he was the first Russian that I ever seen that had that passion. And I'm still saying if those guys were born in America or Canada, it would be 10.
Fedorov had that passion for Russian tennis players.
Oh, he had the passion for post. Fedorov's weird. I hear that he still trains with Navy SEALs and stuff and all, like, is in
he's
crazy
gonna come, he's
shape.
Come back and play.
Yeah.
He's playing over in Russia right now. He wants to play in the Olympics, I think.
Something's going on.
I loved him when he was a player.
That's great.
I loved him. He's amazing.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some other. Let's move along here a little bit.
I played with Igor Larionov in a game, and it was the most amazing thing that I for playing with somebody. It was the most amazing. Like, it was, he was like, okay, who hasn't scored on this team that we're playing on? And somebody put up their hand. And he goes, I want you to stand there, and I'm going to get you the puck. And it was, we were playing against other NHL guys and actors, and I got lifted up to, I got to play with the NHL guys and the actors. I was good enough that they were going to let me play with them. I was a pickup truck that was playing with Corvettes,
right. You know,
but still, I got to play with them. And
to the listeners, Ian's a really good hockey player.
I'm okay. I got to play with guys, but it was amazing to see him tell a guy before he got on the ice where to stand, and he would get him the puck, and it went to his stick, and he scored. It was just like, I'm like, oh my God, this guy's crazy. Yeah. So
no, but you are the, I mean, you're the best hockey. You're the best comedic hockey player. We talk about this every week.
Now I'm just damaged, fat, good.
No. But I mean, like in the comedy leagues and stuff, you are the Mary Lemieux of stand-up.
I've had diseases.
I remember my first pickup game. I went. You were skating around. I was like, what did I get myself? I didn't recognize you. You're on skates. You're 10 feet taller. I'm like, what did I get myself into? Then I was lucky. I was like, Lemieux scored first shift. Yeah. Boom. On the ice. Like 5 minutes later, I scored. And then Bag just shut me down. He goes, you're not scoring again. You're just cross-checking me.
And then just held on to you. I just skated you around.
Yeah. No, but
I miss those. Those are so much fun.
I know. We got to do those again.
You know what? Guys got, they brought out some guys that were completely serious. Like, I was just having fun. And then all of a sudden, there was a couple, they brought out some extra guys that ruined it for the guys that couldn't play, I think.
Yeah. We had Byrne in here, and we were talking about the same thing. We were saying how great you are. And even he concluded, because Byrne's really good.
Byrne's great.
That you were playing at half speed.
Oh, we're just fooling around, man.
I know. That's how great you are. That's what I'm saying. That's how good you are. Because everybody
some guys
else
were
would,
going for it. That's what made me laugh. I don't want to mention any names, Nate Craig. It was out there, and he was wearing, like, just, I think, track pants and stuff. And he was going for it. I was just like,
he plays on my my comedy basketball team.
He
he's an athlete. Yeah,
he's serious.
He plays hard. He's just a good getter.
Yeah, I'm Russian. I don't get that serious.
Well, but you were by far the best.
But it's
player.
Fun playing with guys and just putting passes on the stick and just, you know, guys touching the puck. You don't want to go out with a bunch of guys and they don't touch the puck. Like, that's not fun for them.
Well, that was why I stopped going. I got injured a couple of times, but really I stopped going was it got so fast I couldn't stay on side.
Right. Right.
And Burn would hit
but
me.
It's not fun.
Burn would skid. Come on, we're going this way.
Yeah.
It's like I touched the puck like twice. I was like, yeah.
And a man's voice should never go that high.
Well, speaking of the Olympics, let's talk a little more hockey. Well, you know what I want to do? Because you're so gracious and you're gracious with your time. And you did a charity event gets too long into this and people turn it off. Not that we've been so entertaining. You know what, I think they'll be listening for the whole hour anyway.
I hope so.
But let's just make sure that we get this plug out here so we can raise some money.
Yeah, I did this thing. A girl that I grew up with was diagnosed with terminal cancer, and she has 3 young kids, and she's going to be leaving them behind. Hopefully not soon, but you never know with that kind of thing. And I went up and I did a show in my hometown at Terrace, and we sold 650 tickets, made a bunch of money for it. But I was able to get this is why I love hockey. This is absolutely why I love hockey. I know the equipment manager from the Kings. And I know the equipment manager from the Canucks. And I just said to him, hey, I got to go raise some money. Can you hook me up with jerseys? And I said, maybe get someone to sign it. And they got the whole team to sign the jerseys. And then I contacted my friend who's a goalie coach in St. Louis, Corey Hirsch. And he was able to do the same thing. And then I contacted Eric Paros. And not Paros. What am I?
George
Paros. Why is Eric Paros? Who used to Eric... Carnes. Yeah. I think of the same guy because they're both college guys that fought.
Yeah.
But I contacted him and he got me a signed jersey from the Montreal Canadiens. So they're going to be raffling them off. They're selling 1,000 tickets on each item for $5, and you can win one of these jerseys. And if you want to contact me on Facebook, Ian Bag, or email me at ian@ianbag.com, I'll hook you up so you can buy some tickets. Because it's a great thing to have a signed jersey from one of these teams, and it's money's going to a great cause. And that's how great hockey people are. They just give until, you know.
Yeah, that's one of the best things about hockey. That's why I like being associated with hockey as much as I can. Because, that's, you know, just charity work. It's all for the people, the handicapped and the people who need. They're so good at helping people who need.
Yeah.
Hockey players and teams and organizations. They really are.
The other thing is that what's great about it is they just didn't give money. They gave us an item that will mean something to somebody. There's going to be – somebody's going to – you know what's funny is that where I grew up, people are going nuts because there's a Montreal Canadiens signed jersey. It's a Vancouver Canucks town, but there's a chance they can get a Montreal Canadiens signed jersey. So they want that. That's what they want to win, you know, and it's a great item. So.
No, well, I'm glad we could – please, everybody, Ian at Ian Bag and he'll get you some tickets and buy them, and you could win.
There's only $1,000, $5 a piece, and the draw date is December 31st.
Oh, I want to get in on that. Yeah. Well, let me hook that up. You want to? We're going to try to get our captain in here for a couple minutes.
Yeah.
Speaking of the kid, what do you think of PK Subban?
Hello. I'm calling him right now. Subban, I think, is a great player. I really don't know enough about him because I do like watching.
Mr. Frazier.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Hey, this is our captain. We have Mr. Bag in-house. How you doing, our captain, on the phone?
Well, I'm good. I'm good. Ian Bag, former star of the Vernon Vipers.
Nice. Oh, Frazier. Where are you, in a bathtub?
I am. No, I'm at the airport.
And
I saw your list of things you had on there. Who do you think is better, the Kings or the Ducks? I don't really know at this point, but I want to go to that game at Dodger Stadium.
How do we do that?
Oh, I thought Frazier, you're going to pull some strings, Frazier. I thought you're going to get right on the third base line.
Well, I think I can hook it up. Lasorda is my old friend. He says he wants to coach the third period, so for the Kings. So maybe I can get him. Get us some tickets.
I would love to see Lasorda coach just be confused.
Is he fast enough? He could get out of the way of that baseball the other time. Hockey's a little faster. He better watch
he's
out.
He's so confused. Why is everybody batting?
Let's bring Ethier in and put him in. Hey, do you think they'll sell out that game?
They've got to sell out that game.
Yeah, I think they will. I definitely think they will. I think there's 50. There's easily 50,000 regular Kings fans. I mean, there's a million people at that parade.
What are they? How many tickets are they selling for that? Has it been announced how many? What the capacity is?
You know, I haven't seen it. I don't know. They're probably going to have to, cordon off part of the stadium. But it holds 65,000.
Because I was going
to, man, I'd love to see that sold out.
Because Anaheim's 18 and the Kings are 18, so that's 36,000 right there, right?
Yeah, I think they're. I don't even think they'll ever let you know if it doesn't sell out. They'll just say it's a sellout and give those tickets away.
I do have some complaints about the NHL right now, and one of those complaints is they, you know how they tell you it's a sellout?
Right.
Well, they're lying now.
Yeah.
They do an average of the whole league of tickets being sold, so it's not actually a sellout anymore. Now they don't tell you how many tickets are sold. They just say it's another sellout at the LA Kings because they're not giving the numbers out and they're averaging it out. It's kind of scummy. Yeah.
See, that is scummy.
I just learned about that the other day.
Do you think there's tickets available for those games, though? I mean, like, if...
Yeah, there's still got to be tickets available.
Yeah, they're still promoting the hell out of all those outdoor games.
Yeah. Because there's a lot of outdoor games. It's not like there's just one, you know, so people are just going to that. There's like four, I think, right?
Yeah, there's the one. Well, Vancouver's in
Vancouver
the first one
Ottawa.
Ever.
Yeah.
Where are they playing in Vancouver?
They're playing at BC Place Stadium. I guess that's the first time they're going to, it's a new roof where they can open it up to the heavens, and they're going to open that up. So that should be about, I think that's about 50,000 people.
They're playing two. They're playing two in New York. The Penguins are playing the Blackhawks in Soldier Field.
I'd like to go to that one.
That would be awesome. And then Detroit and Toronto are playing in the Big House, Fraser's old stomping grounds.
I'd like to see Detroit, but the other team getting on the ice, I'd rather they stayed home.
You know, the thing about the Big House, that's 115,000, man. To see a hockey game, that would be unbelievable.
That's what's going to happen on New Year's Day, though.
Last year.
That's easily going to sell out, because that's the Red Wings and Toronto.
That'll sell out, yeah. Last year, weren't they supposed to play last year?
Yes.
Yeah, because I booked myself in Cincinnati for New Year's so I could take the next day after New Year's, go up and see that game at the Big House, and they went on strike and screwed me over.
I'm not bragging. I'm literally booked every night of the outdoor series this year. I'm so sad. I'm going to miss. I wanted to go to Chicago and Pittsburgh. That was why I went to the big in Soldier Field. And Chicago is a great town.
Man.
You'd have to bundle up for that.
Are they going to play it regularly?
No, they're going to play at Soldier Field.
Soldier Field, not Wrigley, huh?
So that's what is that? Is that about 80,000? Is that what that is?
Yeah, it'll probably be probably like 85. Yeah, it's like 80,000. Yeah.
And what's Yankee Stadium? How many does that hold?
I don't know what they're projecting. They're doing two there, though. They're doing the Rangers are playing the Devils once, and then they're playing the Islanders once.
Interesting.
Wow. As long as they outdraw Joel Osteen. Now,
that's not very positive enough.
I'd like to see him play at Wrigley and then lose the puck in the Ivy. We're having a puck. We've got to find the puck before we can.
You don't need that many people.
On your talking points thing, you said, who's the best player right now? Who do you think the best player is? I got to go with Ovechkin.
Do you go with Ovechkin?
Yeah.
Really?
22 goals.
Yeah, but goals doesn't always mean that you're the best player. I'm going with Taves.
Yeah, I just threw my hat into the. I just got kicked out of Pittsburgh, but I just threw my hat in the ring for Taves. My number one thing against Ovechkin is he's a winger. So not by law, but whatever the word would be, he's not doing enough on the ice as a centerman.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you know, centerman does more on the ice. So I just have to give him the benefit of that doubt.
Yeah, and I don't.
Well, Crosby is the points leader again. I mean, he's still on top.
Yeah, I just.
And Pat,
I'd say he's about sixth or seventh.
I just explained it because last time we hocked on, he was shocked. I said I think Tage is more well rounded. I think Crosby is a more spectacular goal scorer. I just don't think he plays the defense. That Taves does, and I just see him give away pucks when they're in bad situations, way unleader-like, if you will, like uncaptain-like. Like I just go back to Ron Francis, probably the greatest regular guy hockey player that ever lived, because he always made the right play. And I just don't think Sid plays enough Ronnie Francis hockey that, say, Taves does. I can see your point where you would think Ovechkin. I don't think it's a bad point that Ovechkin is the best player in hockey.
He's having a good year scoring wise. You know, although I see what you're saying about Taze too. He's got the great leadership, and when you have that leadership quality, that's kind of an intangible.
Well, yeah, and I just think it's like like I said, Sid last week he made a 1 second left, he scores, he comes down 1-on-3 and scores to win the game. But how many times does he throw blind passes in neutral ice? He's just lucky he has two defensive-minded wingers that get back and save his skin. You know, I mean, not to knock Sid, you know, he saved my franchise. But, you know, I just think I have to be, I mean, unless you're a flyer.
I think that's what makes him the captain.
Unless you're a flyer, I have to be honest about you.
I want to ask Ian, who's the best Canuck ever?
Ever?
Yeah.
Oh.
Of all time.
Well, when he was with the Vancouver Canucks, he wasn't. But then you go, I will name three names. I'll say Pavel Bure, Marcus Naslund.
Right.
Marcus Naslund and Cam Neely. Because Cam Neely wasn't the dominated player he was in Boston when he was in Vancouver. They let him go.
But I know what you're saying. His overall ability.
Right. Because if I was going to go with three of those to build a team, I'd go with Cam Neely.
Did you know at the time that were you like crying in your bed? Like,
no,
oh my God.
I was too young to know.
Oh, okay.
I was too young to know. And the Canucks suck then. So we were horrible. Like I don't think we ever got going until the 90s as a good team. I think we ended up in 84. What was it? 84. We went to the end with the Islanders. I think that was pure luck, that team. So 84.
Now, did you ever go to any of those early games?
No, my first ever Canucks game. I was 19, 20 years old, and I'd moved to Vancouver. That's the first time that I had seen them, and I seen the Flyers and the Canucks was my first game, and Ron Tockett was on the on the Flyers. That's how I remember that game, as well as Craig Berube, and who else was? There was another guy that was just a dominator on the Flyers. Were really good at that time.
Worst loss ever as a fan, barring except for Penguin losses. Probably in the top five of my all time losses was Vancouver losing to the Rangers. That game because I was still the era when they still had Graves and I was bartending with a Ranger fan who had a tattoo of a Statue of Liberty and a Ranger jersey on his arm, and I just wanted Vancouver to win so bad.
There hasn't been a better series in a long time than that Vancouver New York
series.
That was a crazy good series. Yeah. I was back and forth. Yeah. And the guy fell off. He was hanging on the power lines in downtown Vancouver and fell off him. I think it was game three. Yeah. Yeah, that was...
Yeah, it was a good series.
It was a good series. Vancouver's just... Something about the ideology, the team... There's something's got to change there. It's not got the killer instinct, and I think they brought in Tortorella in to start to change that, but I also think that maybe they might have to go higher up to change that general manager to change that whole thought process in Vancouver. And Vancouver's a tough city to play in. It's like everybody in Vancouver knows how to play hockey, and they let you know. You know, so
yeah, that's probably true, right? Yeah, it's kind of like Detroit, too. Everyone knows the game.
Right. So, and they think they're better than you in Vancouver. Like, they think they should be on the team rather than you. So, it's weird. Like, there's certain areas where people, like, the Kings, the Anaheim Ducks, I'm trying to think, San Jose, you know, those are easy places to play because you can walk outside and nobody knows you. Nobody recognizes you. So that takes a lot of stress off a guy when he doesn't have to go to the grocery store and somebody says, "Hey, can you hustle back?" So,
but in a way, though, isn't it like, well, if you can go to the pool in May,
there's a cleanup on aisle six. Let's go.
Isn't it better though? Is it like some towns it's too easy to play.
Yeah, some.
I think it cost Roenick a good 5 years of his career because, hey, you can.
Well, I think Roenick was nuts. That's all.
I mean, but you know, you can go play golf or worry about the game tonight.
Hello?
Let's go play golf.
Are you still there, Frazier?
Yeah, but I'm losing you a little bit. Yeah,
don't lose.
I will say this.
Well, now I wanted to ask about the Olympics, guys. Do you think the Olympics hurts the flow of the league?
I think it's a year where I think that year starts. Probably just before the playoffs in 2013 and continues on to all the way to the end of the Stanley Cup playoffs in 2014. It's a different marathon, because they're training off season, and they changed it a little bit this year. They wouldn't let them train on ice. Did you notice that some of the teams insurance wouldn't give them on ice to pick their teams where they usually have camps and
right.
So.
I think
the Olympics are amazing. I think it's great to watch. I still miss the Canada Cup. Remember those when we put country against country?
Well, that's what they say is going to happen, because the next Olympics are in Asia, and the NHL got nothing out of it being in Asia.
Right.
This year they didn't want to have a mutiny. They didn't want to go. The NHL did not want to be the Olympics this year. But Malkin and Ovechkin said,
"We're going."
Well, we're going whether he wants to. So, like, well, you know what? We'll go one more time.
Right.
Then they're going to restart the World Cup / Canadian Cup, which is the best. It's in the summer.
Right. It's
just amazing hockey in the summer.
And it also, you get to see those. And it's not just like the Olympics are in one town. Those games are played all over North America,
exactly.
And I think a couple in Europe. So you get to see in different, you can go different places and see like a whole.
It was amazing hockey. Plus it was with NHL rules. It wasn't with Olympic rules.
Yeah.
So it's just like watching an all-star game that matters.
Right. Yeah.
It matters. Really the best hockey.
But
go ahead.
I do enjoy seeing, because there's a little bit of a, you got a little bit in your head to take care of you from an NHL rink to an Olympic rink. Your timing's off for a little bit. So if you watch the first couple games, they kind of suck, because they're trying to get
guys. I'm gonna jump off here because I'm losing here, and I think my flight's getting ready to board. But
don't miss that flight, Fraser.
Thanks for being on the show, man, and have a great rest of the show. I think it's almost over, but have a good one, guys, and. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Fraser. Captain Fraser.
I'm losing you. Okay.
Thanks, Fraser.
I'm losing you.
Thanks, guys.
I'm losing you.
I didn't want to cut Fraser off, but I will say this. I was watching one of the Vancouver games, and Edler just didn't want to take the hit to make the play. I'll just say that. He just didn't, you know, he just didn't want to take the hit. Threw the puck away.
Right.
Tortorella jumped on him when he came back. Like, I noticed it, because that's one of the things I just always watch players. That's just one of the things I like about hockey.
Right.
That's why I like it over, like, people, football players, they all hit. I like hockey. You have to be man enough to hit.
Right.
And, man, Tortorella jumped on his ass back at the bench.
That's what I'm saying about the mentality's got to change that.
Now,
right.
I mean, I don't know. If Tortorella doesn't change the mentality, I mean, you're going to bring in Therrien?
Right.
I mean.
But Tortorella's got a shelf life of 3 years.
Right.
So if they haven't changed it in 3 years, I don't know what changes. But at the same time, kind of feel like they have to rebuild. Like there's definitely a rebuilding going on in there. But nobody wants to seem to deal with Gillis, because he seems like all his trades have been with Florida lately.
So, well, you're in a tough situation, because you got the Sundins. And
I like the Sundins. I know a lot of people. I love them.
I'm not knocking them. I think that's the cap. You know what I mean? You can't make very many. I mean, well, you know, with the new TV deal in Canada, the caps might go up to $100 million. So you might be able to get the Sun,
right?
Keep the Sundins.
We signed them. Get
five more players.
We signed them. So I'm pretty sure. I know.
I'm just saying, with the cap though, it's like you want to change everything up, but it's like there's only so much change you can make.
But that's where drafting comes in. You know who's got to learn how to draft? Winnipeg's got to learn how to draft. Places that guys don't want to go play. That's where you got to learn how to draft. Edmonton learned how to draft. How they can still suck with all those first round draft picks in that town, I have no idea what's going on.
They should have hired Patrick Waugh.
That's a good point.
Or Therrien.
I honestly,
or Tortorella, for that matter.
A lot of people love what's his face that went there, and I was like, that's the wrong guy for the job.
No, you need. I mean, look at Therrien.
Right.
I mean, Therrien takes teams and he makes them instantly better.
Right.
Instantly better. I mean, it's funny. I think Tortorella. I was shocked Vancouver took Tortorella, but honestly, and I was shocked the Sundins re-upped under Tortorella. I'm shocked about everything with Tortorella, to be honest with you.
I'm shocked about it, too. I'm shocked about how my friends that work for him like him. Mm-hmm. They say he's a great guy. They say, you know, he tells you, I'm going to be yelling, but it doesn't mean anything to you. I'm going to wink at you afterwards. But the players mean something. He said, you know, they mean something. And they like working for him. They enjoy working for him. So I'm shocked by that. I also know players that played for him who really believe in him. So I'm for me, I was just like, oh God, I just, he's going to get shit kicked walking down the street if he like says some stupid things. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I was concerned about, you know?
Well,
like,
I was happy. I mean, the best thing for, as just a American fan, is that he is in Vancouver.
Right.
So we don't have to hear him every day.
Right.
It's like he's almost at, right. He's kind of, I mean.
When he was in New York, it was too much.
It was too much. And you don't want to overshadow the game with stupidness.
Right.
You know, and that was, I mean, Vino's got him back. They took that stupid, they took a vacation before they went on a 9-game road trip. You know,
right.
To kill him. Now he has him playing hockey.
I knew it was going to take a while with Vino. I actually thought it was going to be reverse. I thought Vino would have his team immediately. And I thought Tortorella was just going to be a disaster for the whole year. Vancouver's playing better than I thought they would. Do I think they're going to make the playoffs? I won't say yes and I won't say no, because I don't know what's going on with that team. And I do know they're leaving the playoffs very soon if they get into it.
Right.
There's
no
way.
I mean, they have the West. I mean, just Sharks, Vancouver. I mean, the Sharks in LA, California, and the Ducks.
California's shit-kicking Vancouver right now. Like, they have got no chance at all.
They're looking at the wild card. So you think, I think the Wild's going to drop. I mean, the Wild must be doing with Mears. It's funny. That's the one team that I know. You know me, I watch every game on the package. It strains me to watch a Wild game just to know a little bit about them.
Right.
It's like the curse of, like, is Jacques Lemaire still there? Their outfits, I think they're like, you know, like they're the Bass Fishing Company like logos.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh.
It's even the fact that they don't even play in Minneapolis, that they play out in the other
no, St. Paul.
They play out in St. Paul. I've been to a game there. It's not a bad rink. I don't know. I loved the North Stars when I was a kid. For some unknown reason, something about the North Stars. Just, I love them. So I don't ever really believed in the Wild. You know?
I like Dallas now.
Because Dallas is
because they got Lindy Ruff.
That's a good. That was a good choice.
Oh, absolutely. I think Lindy. Also, I wanted Lindy. I was just glad he didn't become the coach of the Flyers, because I love Lindy Ruff. I wish he was the Penguins coach, because I'll tell you, Buffalo never has talent,
right?
And they always made the playoffs.
But also Jim Nill as a general manager.
Okay,
they took him. They stole him from Detroit.
Yeah,
and that was a good. That was a good.
Yeah, I mean, Lindy, like they say, like, Lindy Ruff can beat you with his, he can beat you with yours.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if he's the coach, he's going to win.
I've heard that. I know the owner. I McElhargy or whatever his name is, Gagardi. Really nice guy, but I've heard they're still taking some shortcuts for financially there. So we'll see how.
They stole Sagan.
Oh,
and Peverly.
That was a if you don't like Boston, that should be something that you're thrilled about.
Yeah.
I was shocked.
Yeah, I was shocked about that trade.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Erickson, I mean, like I said, he skates with his head down.
Right. Just look around every once in a while. See a puck coming at you. That's what I say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what happened to Lindros.
Right.
I don't care how big you are. You can't skate with your head down.
Can't skate with your head down, and you can't skate with your brain rattling.
Well, the one team I'd never root for is I think they're going to fold. Is St. Louis.
Really?
Yeah, because they never score.
I like St. Louis.
They never score enough goals when it matters. You know, because everybody plays the slow clutch and grab Ken Hitchcock style hockey. And then in the playoffs, they don't score enough when it matters. And two goaltenders, you know that, Mr. Bag.
Right.
When you have two goaltenders, how many goaltenders do you have?
When you have two goaltenders, how many goaltenders do you have? Two.
None.
Oh, never heard that before.
Yeah,
two minus two is six.
Yeah, you have none.
Yeah, none.
So that's why, you know. But they're going to make it. Vancouver's best chance is a wild card, which they can easily get.
And wild card is never something that should be treaded lightly by the other teams.
What do you mean?
I mean, like, wild cards will win the Stanley Cup.
Oh, absolutely.
So. But that's why I'm saying I don't know.
And plus, it's literally though, like, you know, it's going to be the top three, and then the wild cards could switch sides.
Right.
You could end up catching, like, somebody on the, you know, like, you can end up catching the Wild.
It's yeah, exactly.
You know, win that, easily win that series.
It's all about trying to growing into that momentum, and the Kings did that a couple years ago. I remember I seen a Kings game just before they hired what's his face and Sutter, and they were it was the worst. It was so boring. That game was they were horrible. That nobody could all you could hear was pucks hitting the boards because nobody could accept a pass. You know, it was just right. it was horrific. And then two games later, all of a sudden, They get this new coach, and you just all of a sudden you see this build, and they won the Stanley Cup, and they came in on a last seed, right? Did they not?
Right, yeah, a seed,
so,
yeah,
yeah. So,
but they were built. You could tell they were going. You could tell they were going to have a good shot. I mean, we're talking not to bring anything about the Penguins, but the thing, you know, their third and fourth line guys were all like 6'2", 215. They're gonna hit and check,
right?
You know, that's playoff hockey,
right?
You know, the Penguins.
Oh, that team's huge.
Yeah, they're huge. They get bigger. Like the young guys they call up are bigger, and they can score.
Yeah.
Well, I love on Jay Kopitar. He's a poor man's Malkin.
It's very true.
Or a better defensive minded Malkin.
He's even uglier Malkin. Those are the two ugliest men in the league.
I interviewed him. And I called him Anze. He's like, it's Anze. I'm like,
ooh. This is going to be interesting.
But I love. I think they're going to miss Scuderi in the long run, though. I think they.
Oh yeah.
You know, Scuderi. He's guys like him win cups.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bedard's such a good defenseman. I love watching him play.
I haven't seen much of him. I haven't seen much of him. Right. So
I tell you, that's one thing about getting back to Lucic, though. I love him, but he disappears in so many games.
You know what he is? He's a shark. And I remember the first time I seen him off the ice, and I didn't know who he was. And I was like, who's that guy that's a shark? He just kind of was just moving around. And if you watch him on the ice, he's like that. Sharks don't always attack, but when they attack, they destroy, and that's what he does. He doesn't always attack, but when he's in the game, he destroys. And that's what you want. You can't always. There's just no way you're not going to have a guy that plays 82 games that is in everything. You know what I mean? It's too long.
I will say that since I called Taze the best player in the game, I will say that about Sid. Sid takes less shifts off than I think anybody I've ever seen.
Yeah, but
I watch every one of their games. He literally plays hard every shift. But
then he does stupid stuff, and you're like, is he playing hard? You got to play smart. You know, you play smarter than harder, right?
Yeah, no, he makes bad passes probably more than anyone but Letang in the NHL. I mean,
you hate Letang.
Oh,
when you got to readjust your headset, that's when you really hate somebody.
if Letang, I mean, yeah, I would trade him in a heartbeat. I would get rid of. I would trade him for not. I think it's better. Talk about what the Penguins need. Mm-hmm. That's what they. Yeah, because when he's on the ice, it's like they need the commitment to defense from everybody.
Right.
And when he's always up ice, how's there a commitment to defense from everybody?
Right.
I'd rather have a guy staying home. If we can't score with either Sid Kunitz and Duper out there, or Malkin and Neil, you know, then
the fact that you guys should be at least 6 or 7 goals a game just with those your first two lines.
That's what I mean. Like, you know, we need guys, you know, them to play defense. I don't need Letang.
Right.
You know, were you happy with the Bobby Lou won the sweepstakes? The Bobby Lou, Corey Schneider sweepstakes?
Well, yeah, I knew Lou wasn't going anywhere. Even though he wanted to be traded with that contract, he was going nowhere. We weren't buying him out. Like, he was going nowhere. So, and I think, you know, it's interesting. My thing is, Schneider hasn't played that much in New Jersey.
No, because Brodeur's still playing good.
Yeah, so I feel bad for Schneider, who I feel bad for. Because he proved himself last year that he's a number one goalie. And the games that he's played in New Jersey, he's a number one goalie. He's gotten stuck behind two Frenchies that have screwed his life.
Speaking of the number one goalies who got, I mean, well, look at Bernier.
Yeah.
I thought for sure he's going to play the whole time in Toronto because he was awesome as a backup for Quick. He goes to Toronto, and all of a sudden it's like
I didn't. I honestly thought that him and Reimer were going to be splitting it.
Really?
Yeah. I thought Reimer played really good in the play, and I hate the Maple Leafs. So when I'm talking about good things about anybody that plays for the Maple Leafs, yeah, I honestly thought that was going to be a 50-50 split. It hasn't changed. I did not think that was. I thought that was what they're doing. I think is what I would do with those guys because they're both hot. Why not ride them both and rest them when you can? Because this is a long season. This is a really long season.
No, I agree with that. Like in the Fleury instance, when you know who the number one guy is and you know Vokoun's number two.
Right.
I think when there's two guys that you don't know who's number one and number two, I think there has to be a demarcation line, though. I think
no, and I'll tell you what, the other thing about this year is a lot of guys aren't going to the Olympics.
Right.
So a lot of guys have a second season, and who knows where their mind's going to be.
Well, let's end on that topic then, though. So do you think I think the better teams get hurt by the Olympics, because I know half the Penguins' good guys are going.
Because
they're
tired? And half
the
Canucks' tired?
Good guys are going, too, right. Yeah.
Because they're tired.
Yeah.
I do, and, but I don't and, because
and
they're professionals.
A team with the next level guys, going to be like, you know, the guys that just didn't quite make the team are going to be all rested, and they're going to be raring to go.
Of course. You're going to have one team that's going to step it up because they're rested.
Right.
But you're also going to have one team that loses focus because they just have 2 weeks off in the middle of the season.
Right.
Right? Even though they're professionals, they're humans.
But, so, you know, but there's going to be drained. I mean, you can't tell me, you can't tell me that if Russia doesn't make it to the finals, that Malkin, who's going to be double shifted probably in Sochi, isn't going to be worn out.
Yeah, but yes, but no. Like, yes, but no. I think, first of all, I think Russia's going to get knocked out pretty quick in that. And I think,
as long as Malkin don't get injured, I'm totally happy with that.
Well, that's the big thing. That's the big thing.
Right.
As long as none of my players get injured,
that was the biggest
fine.
Thing. Was I was so happy that the Flyers coach, when he was beginning of the year, Laviolette wasn't the Olympic coach. I'm like, he'll just go after Sid and Gino the whole
right.
time.
You know what, Laviolette? That was. I still think that guy's a good coach.
Oh, I know. It was a miracle they fired him for Berube.
That's
it was a miracle.
Stupid. And not saying anything against Berube. I'm just thinking.
Oh, well, it's Berube.
That team had.
Speak all you want about
that. Yeah, right. But that team had. That team, even though they're kind of winning more, they never give a team a chance in Philadelphia.
No.
They get like playing for five games. They're not all gelling. Tear it apart. Like, right. Tear it apart. Let's get somebody in there that can fight, and they can't fight, and they just get their back broken like Le Cavalier.
Well, we've gone to overtime. We're playing bonus hockey, which we wanted to because we have the great Ian Bagg. We can talk hockey all day. We could do 5 hours right here. I just love talking with the very funny, the great and talented hockey genius that he is, Mr. Ian Bagg. You want to plug some stuff?
I have got where I'll be in Calgary for New Year's. So, yeah, that's where
that's
I will be.
That's a fun town.
Yeah, Calgary. And, yeah, that's where I'll be for New Year's. And, yeah, listen to my podcast, The Ian Bagg Show, and I hope you'll come do it.
I've wanted to. I know Jen Murphy's the thing. When are you going to do it? I'm like, Ian's going to call me.
We've talked about it.
I can't knock on the door. I can't bust your door down.
What are you doing on Wednesday?
This Wednesday?
If you're not busy, you want to come do it?
Yeah, let's talk off the air because I have an issue. Issue.
His balls. One of his balls is all crazy.
No, I have car issues. I'm Joe Bartnick. I will
Thanks for having me, Joe.
Oh no, thank you. Please, if you can't think of anything to give for Christmas, you can give my comedy CD Salute. It's a funny one. Frazier will not be here next week either, but I don't know who the guest will be. But she'll be another awesome show. Once again, thanks to the great Ian Bagg. Thank you, Anthony, our producer, and you're listening to Puck Off.